for it is not what it ought to be, nor are we nearly as appreciative of this moment and hour. We are aware of the importance of it, the imminency of your physical coming back to earth here, and we hopefully with you all these things, Lord, were of. We would implore you this morning, Lord, to make us so aware of it and the importance of it, especially to us, Lord, what is happening, what it would be if we missed it, that our very lives, Lord, will take a real definite change into being more sober and serious and more considerate of you and your ways, Lord, and more anxious to see the word fulfilled in our lives, that having received your word into our hearts, Lord, that we would be that living word of God made flesh, not to be prophets and not to be great people, Lord, no, not to be seen by anybody or to be recognized. That's not what we want. But, Lord, to just know we have that uniformity, that conformity to you, Lord, and that oneness with you. Fill our hearts this morning with love, shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, for you, Lord, and for your people. Help us to walk in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I think as we continue to study various messages, which we have been for quite some time now, we can only be impressed that what these messages are all about is what God has done and now continues to bring to pass in continuity with what the word of the hour said would be done. And so we're looking at the token again this morning instead of a Christmas message. I'm just bypassing that because, after all, it's true that Jesus was not born in December, although I'm not against celebrating his birth, not by any stretch of the imagination. But oftentimes we just bypass these things and get into what we are studying, which we'll do now. In bringing this message called the token, Brother Branham uses the Exodus of Israel out of Egypt as a type for this hour of the bride's exodus in a rapture. Now, I want you to notice that, because everything Brother Branham said and did was of utmost importance. And you notice that he took it out of Exodus here, the 12th chapter, and which was Israel departing for the promised land under a covenant, and that covenant confirmed by blood. It wasn't God's part needed confirmation. It was man's part in believing him and applying that token. So in verses 12 and 13, Brother Branham read, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord." In other words, it'll come to pass, you watch and see, because this Lord means that he's sovereign. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, as Israel was given the blood as a token for an absolutely necessary prerequisite for her departure and for the annulment of death while all others died, so the bride is now given the Holy Spirit for her token as the absolute necessary prerequisite for her departure and the annulment of death, allowing entrance into the millennial kingdom. Now, you have to understand that there was a covenant. God's word lay there, and God backs his word up. But he demanded a covenant as a prerequisite. And that prerequisite could not be set aside. It was an absolute must, or there was no going into the promised land unless you were carried in dead. It annulled it. Of course, they were not carrying anybody in dead, embalmed or otherwise. Now, the bride also, based on this Exodus, and remember, we're always looking at Exodus as a type in the book of Exodus, Israel out of Egypt, into the promised land, as a type for the bride exiting out of this world via a rapture into the millennial kingdom. Now, she has the word of God that promises absolutely that it stands there. But that prerequisite, the token, which is the Holy Spirit, must be displayed or actually owned by the individual members of the bride, and literally the bride as a composite, or there will be no getting out of here. Now, remember that God categorically said at the time of the bride getting out of here, the wrath of God coming upon the earth, because they're both there in the same hour, that unless he sent Elijah the prophet, he would destroy utterly. So, you can see that something is very, very necessary in order to get the bride out of here. Now, we're not saying Elijah's the token. We're just getting you to understand that the bride is not going to get out of here except the word of God be completely applied to her through the sovereignty of God and by her own acceptation, or accepting it. Now, listen carefully, though, so you're going to get what I'm saying. It is now very evident that though the token itself is not the ultimate desire or the prize itself, there is no possibility of gaining that ultimate unless one does have the token applied by a purchaser. In other words, no token, no prize. No token, no resurrection, or immortality, or rapture, or millennium. Now that's what Brother Branham is bringing up very strong here. To see this perfectly in the Scripture, it would be wise to read the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, this is basically something we all know, but we take it the same as Brother Branham took it. That's why we are treating it with these emphases. Beginning at the 8th chapter, I won't read the whole chapter, but I almost should read 23 verses. But I'll read up here in verse 15, first of all saying, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then it says, for verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, you always were sons, but now you're placed as being sons by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, because God gives the seed, or the sons, the Holy Spirit. He does not give that to others. That's where the bride comes in. The Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. In other words, that's the stamp of approval. You've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. That settles it. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Now, he just puts that in there to let you know there is suffering. It doesn't say you're going to suffer and win the kingdom. That's legalism. It just tells you this goes with it. This is character molding. See? There's no such thing as character outside of suffering. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now all creation is waiting for us. We got to have our turn, then they get their turn. Because we fell, then it fell. We got to be restored, it gets restored. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now creation didn't do one thing to deserve it, but God put it there because of man. But creation is now waiting in earnest expectation, because that's where God put it. He put it under expectation. Because creation itself shall be also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, for the glory of the liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together to now. And not only they, but they ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Say, now, if you didn't have the first fruits of the Spirit, you'd groan all you wanted. You'd be just like the rest of the world. They're groaning out there. Don't worry. They're groaning more. Because it's going to be a horrible time coming on this earth. Brother Branham said that that's one thing he wouldn't want to be into, just even a minute of the Great Tribulation. So what all it means, I don't know. But I know that it means we should be far more serious and sober than we are. But the point I'm bringing out here is the fact that one must be baptized with the Holy Ghost in order to be in the final restoration back to Eden. There's just no other way you're going to get there. And creation itself is waiting upon that. So total restoration little depends upon a person and persons, all in the bride, who are totally in Christ and Christ in them. Now, we go also in Ephesians, the first chapter. And we all know these verses. I suppose we could quote them by now without any trouble. In verse 13, in whom ye also hoped after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now remember, there's no gospel of salvation outside the word of truth. And if you're off the truth, there's no salvation. Now you can have a corruptible rebirth, All the churches have corrupt rebirth. How many people that believe you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe are going to be in this? None of them. Because they'll be under corruption. They're taking justification for the baptism. And it won't work. Now, that was okay years ago, brother, sister, when you're under Luther. You received the Holy Ghost under the understanding of justification, that just live by faith. You received the Holy Spirit under Wesley that was moving on. And under restoration of gifts and the doctrine of baptism of the Holy Ghost, that took care of Pentecost. That was their hour of truth. But this is another hour of truth. Now, you try to tell that to anybody but stoops like us. We're clever like doves and angels. We're beyond all that stuff, see? You try to tell people that outside of us, they'll laugh at you. Oh, say, bless God, the Word's the Word. Well, it is the Word. But the Bible also says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but all these words will be fulfilled. And it said, my word shall not pass away until it is fulfilled. So the Word of God lets you know there's a portion of the Word that passes away when it's fulfilled. And don't you fool with that. Now, you see, people aren't going to believe that. No, they're not going to believe that. They're just, well, how can they believe it? They're not ordained. See? Now, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory. Now, it tells you right there, at the time of redemption, that runs out. Because it's until. Now, if you rode in your car until you parked it, you weren't riding in your car when you got out and walked the building. But you tell that to a lot of people, theologians. And they're swearing, literally, by the way they understand Scripture, that you're still riding when you get out of the car. Now, if you can figure that, I can figure it, because it's nonsense. And you figure nonsense is nonsense. But it says, until. It's just like, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, they say, I've received when I believe. Now, that's not the literal track. The more literal is, after having believed, did you receive the Holy Ghost? That's sin. Why? Look, it could be like the Philippian jailer. Just like that. Like Pentecost. 3,000, then 5,000. Just like that. No problem. See? But there has to be that believing justification. Now, of course, the real progress is the progress that God gives us, which is repent, be baptized, everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having completed the definition of the token and seen its truth in the Word, we notice that Brother Branham begins to emphasize two major principles. And those principles, of course, we want to look at. But first of all, we want to read again to you, because I think there's real merit in it, not bypassing his definition of token, but reading this great big long one, which I've got here, it's almost a page. Token. And it says here, something intended or supposed to represent or indicate another thing or event. See? Not the thing itself, like I read. A sign, a symbol, an evidence. See? Like it says here, there were black 8 days in token mourning. In other words, they wore black. Like, remember the old armband you used to wear at funerals and afterwards? And you had to wear that black armband. This is even in my day. So, I know 25 years ago, I didn't see it. I don't think 30 years ago. But you go back around 45 years ago, 50 years, 50, that's been 50 years, I'd say. Some people still wear them. Now, that shows that that's a token, that's an evidence, a symbol that somebody died, a relative. Somebody you're mourning for, see? Okay. A characteristic mark or indication. Well, it indicates or shows that particular thing. Now, a memorial of friendship. I like that one. Because, you see, the spirit that came back was the spirit of Christ. See? He said, I will not leave you friendless. I'll not leave you orphans. I'll come back and take care of you. I'll come back in the form of the Holy Spirit. So, Brother Brown, we read that on page 10, I think, over here. It is a literal life of Jesus Christ returned back into the believer. That's good. Something by which the friendship or affection of another person is to be kept in mind. He said, I love you. The Bible said he loved us unto the end. And then he said, I'm going to show my love. I'm going to go away. Now he said, you don't understand that, but you will later on and see my real love then. He said, you think it's wonderful because I'm here now. But he said, you wait till the Holy Spirit comes. And it's the strangest thing in the world. Everybody is still looking for Jesus to come, or they'd like to see him in flesh and say, that's the great thing. And I'm not talking now of coming immortal. I'm talking of being here on earth with him like they were back in those days. And but this is superior. This is the token. The Holy Spirit is the evidence, is the proof, you see, of a love and affection. And remember, it's to keep the person in mind. What's the Holy Spirit supposed to do? Teach us all things and keep us in mind. It's a keepsake, a souvenir, a love gift. Couldn't beat that if you tried. It was a handkerchief, an antique token my father gave my mother from Mattello, see? See the examples here. Something that serves as a pledge of authenticity. That's good, isn't it? Good faith or the like, a witness. God placing his faith in you, giving you the Holy Ghost. He's giving you a pledge, showing he's authentic, you're authentic. All right? A signal. And that's where Judas comes in. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. See? A piece of metal having the general appearance of a coin and practically serving the same purpose and so on. So you can see here that this definition is exceptionally good and runs right in line with Brother Branham. See? Now, there are two major definitions of the token, or two major thoughts that Brother Branham brings out in this subject of the token. And so we want to emphasize it this morning. Now, number one, the recognition or knowledge of the availability of the token is not sufficient in itself. Now, look at a lot of people, you know, sort of downgrade the Roman Catholic people. That isn't really right, because you'll find that the Protestants have a very, very poor understanding of what the Roman Catholic people really teach, or the Greek Orthodox. Like years ago, I used to always believe that the Roman Catholics were strong to believe Mary was their Savior, Mary the Mother of God, and all this kind of stuff, Mary intercede, and this and that. So I asked some Catholics one time, I said, well, who is your Savior? They said, Jesus Christ. But, you know, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Savior does not make him Savior. See, it's fine to say, well, Jesus is Savior. Well, sure, that's true. He died to save us from our sins. I believe that. And I suppose millions and millions believe that. What, maybe 800 million people? Who knows? I think there's that many anyway. Not 1 billion people on the earth by now that actually are Christian, because there's 750 million some time ago. Now, the word Christian I'm using loosely means they submit to the understanding that Jesus Christ came and died for their sins, and they accept him as their Savior. If anybody's going to save him, that's the one that does it. Well, you can see right there that to simply accept the thing, and it could be mental, it could be doctrinal, it could be traditional, but it doesn't mean you received him. See, to believe, you go beyond believing, or a mental assent or assent there. If you can recognize it and believe in it, is not enough. It must be received. Or as Brother Branham said, the token, like the blood, must be applied. To neglect its application brings death, for there is no other way into life. The token itself is life itself. You see, when you're dealing with blood, you're dealing with just a symbol. It took the place. But when you're dealing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're thinking in taking, in terms of Jesus Christ taking his own place in your life, in the Holy Spirit, the form of the Holy Spirit, that little portion. Now, the token itself is life itself, and that life contains it all. For in him are all things, and they're all things now in you in the form of a seed. So in you is eternal life, in the seed, in you is immortality, in you is the resurrection, in you is the millennium. You say, well, I believe God's going to raise me. But you try and get raised without that being in you. It's not going to work. Because that's what causes you to be raised. That's your covenant token. And there can be a covenant God gave. But unless you have that evidence, that sealing in, as the Bible calls it, you're not going to rise. You follow what we're saying? So therefore, Brother Branham is saying here so very, very carefully, and so wording it so strong, you've got to apply the token. See? Just as the Lamb supplied the blood, which spoke of one life substituted for another, and that substance called blood placed on the doorposts and lintels to manifest to the world that they had the prerequisite of life, and the promised land, so now the life of Christ comes back on the believer, as it says in Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's exactly what we're looking at. And without this life or token, there can be no immortality or a kingdom. Now remember, we're looking for immortality and a kingdom. See, Adam and we were in Adam. There was nothing said about a future kingdom. There was nothing said about the processes of death. There was just the word given. You have control of it all. That's what he was born into. And he wants to get back to it. See? Man wants that. Brother Branham said, nobody wants to die. That, in a way, is true. It's true across the board. But you understand what I'm saying? There's cases where some say, well, I'd sooner get out of here and take a chance someplace else. What he's saying right there is this. There's got to be something better than this. But it doesn't mean that there is in that case. But nobody wants to die. Adam didn't want to die. Eve didn't want to die. Why? Because they were suited for the kingdom. Now, that was the Genesis. That's the Alpha. So man has got to take the Omega, and it's going to be an Alpha. He wants to go back where he was. And he'd be a fool to want to go back where he was if he could fall again. Transmigration of souls and that kind of stuff, but he's in that hogwash. You haven't been here before to... No, you can feed in your spirit what was here before, and you want to avoid it. But you want to get back there, see? So man is looking for this kingdom, and he's part in it, where he's ruling and reigning over nature, where there is a continuity and a conformity, a unity, a blending, a oneness, one with the other, and I'm speaking of man and nature, the whole universe, the whole thing, God and all of it. Now, you want to get back there? Then be full of the Holy Ghost. There's no other way you're going to have it. It's the one prerequisite. Except a man be born again, he can never see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And you can't have that apart from a revelation. See, you just simply can't say, well, it's there. You've got to know that it's there, and you've got to know it's for you. And as Brother Branham said, you've got to be anointed by the faith of God for that. You preach it, of course, as anybody can have it, healing and everything else, but you've got to be anointed for it. Okay. Without this life or token, this evidence, this guarantee, this evidence of you and the contract, which is the word, being one, because God stands behind his word to perform it. He lifted up his hand and swore by himself, I'll do it. And he did it. Okay. Without that evidence, the Holy Spirit, the token, call it what you will, there can be no immortality and no kingdom, though man wants it. Man will use anything to get a kingdom of his own. Kill, bribe, you name it. Number two, the second major principle, now you got to watch this and very carefully, is that this token could only come at the evening time. It was at the evening time. It was an evening time message, pardon me, when Moses came in the Exodus. Got to pardon my coughing this throat. I got talking to two men yesterday too long, I guess, and kind of frazzled myself up. So you got to take the consequences. We started verse 1, 12th chapter, and Aaron and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. That'd have to be April, wouldn't it? It said, the first month of the year to you, speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, the tenth day of this month they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be two little lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the soul, number of souls, every man according to eating, shall make your count of the lamb, for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Take it up from sheep or from goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill in the evening. They'll take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper post of the house, and therein they shall eat it. That's wearing. They got to eat under that cover, see, and enclosed in there. It's just like when you partake of the Lord's Supper, and you partake of any message that we trust of the Holy Ghost here. You could hear Brother Bannister tapes and know it for sure. You have to be under the Holy Spirit to even get what he's saying. Jesus couldn't make it up, see? So you eat inside the house, under the blood, under your token, which is the Spirit now. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they eat it. Now that's speaking of suffering and sacrifice. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden with, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with the pertness thereof. And you shall let nothing ever remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you'll eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you'll eat it in the time, in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. That's when God stands guard. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. In other words, you want a token? God said, I want a token. I want to see that. I've got to see the evidence that the blood has been applied to you. Now, you can shed the blood. It's fine. You go ahead and shed it. But if it's not on the door, I don't see it. See? Do you understand what we're talking about? It's there, and you can go so far, right down the road, and miss it. See, that's a lot of people do. Justified, sanctified. Why, they just work a Christian to death. Fine people. No, you can't fault them. There'll be no doubt about them. Mostly foolish virgins. Come up in the second resurrection. They won't be bridled. They're not going to make that millennial kingdom. Now, I want you to know something here. That millennial kingdom, as I've said before, must be terribly, terribly, terribly important somewhere that only the very elect get it. What is that millennial kingdom all about? I don't know. I don't think nobody here knows. I know that for sure. Because Brother Branham told us very little. It's just amazing. I don't believe he came back with one vision. He came back with a vision to where you're going to go to. Oh, he said, that's great. Well, that will be half as great as the other. Because that's intermediate. That's where you go in order to get there. That's like, it's like going from here to St. Louis to change planes to go to Chicago. Or Fresno. Or L.A. or someplace. So who needs St. Louis? Well, you do need it. We need to stop off here too. We're not faulting it. But that's not where we're going. Where are we going to? What is it all about? That's the great mystery. The great mystery. And I can guarantee you this. There is no longing in the heart of a man or woman. And I don't care if that longing is toward God or just put there by God in the sense that you might not be longing much toward God. But any longing that's there is going to be in that millennium completely fulfilled. Got to be. And then from there on, not just icing on the cake, but from there on, just like that Roman candle breaking up more and more and more, because the millennium takes you there to put you over there. Mine. See, this is something we ought to be very serious about. I know I'm not serious as I should be. The blood's going to be a token. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So, there you see it. It was an evening time message. It was at night that all of this was done. And on page 20 of the, token here, Brother Branham says, the evening time message is to apply the token. Now, seven church ages have gone by. And this is evening time. Now, let's just regress a little bit to say this. When we talk about evening time, there's an evening time in every age. It was an evening time when Jesus died. And the Spirit comes back at that time to start another message. See? It's that time, like Brother Bass said, the messenger comes at the end of an age. Well, the messenger comes at the first of an age. But he comes at the end of the age that's expiring to bring to the first of that new age. See? They can kind of overlap and all. Well, every age ended in the darkness. See? But then light comes. So the token is applied literally through seven church ages in that sense. But this is a different sense that we'll find out about. Where Brother Branham said the token could only come at the evening time. And that's the Holy Spirit. So we've got to watch that carefully. Now, I want to read. The Lamb was killed in the evening time after being kept up for 14 days. Now he said there was a chemistry for the seven church ages. And when the Lamb was killed, the blood was applied in the evening time. And the token never came into existence. We'll read that from another page later on. I've just got thrown out here and typed out or copied out. The token never came into existence until the evening time. And this is the evening time of the age that we live in. Seventh age. This is the evening time for the church. I believe it means bride there, but it's church also. This is the evening time for me. This is the evening time for my message. I'm dying. I'm going. I'm moving out in the evening time of the gospel. We've come up through justification and so forth. What's the so forth? Sanctification. Baptism with the Holy Ghost. See? But now, but this is the time that the token has to be applied. Now what I want to get to you is something here. Israel went out. It was evening time. It ended an age. Over 400 years of servitude. And maybe 600 years of a promise. Come into this land. You're going to have it. See? All right. I don't know if it's 600 years. It might have been 5. I don't know. I never looked at any chronology. I should have read about it. But it was ongoing. Now it's time to take it. So, it signifies the end of an era. It's over. This is the transitional thing, or that which is the requisite, the prerequisite, to coming into the fullness of what they wanted. So it's evening time now. We're in a juncture, Brother Branham said. We're going to swing over, turn a corner. I'm going to read then from Wheat's translation, and that's how he pronounced it, Pete Wheaton. I guess it was, as you say, I'm quite sure it is, but he called it Wheaton, from a friend of mine told me that, so studied under him. So Dr. Wheat, anyway. Let the Lord, it's just First Peter, let the Lord, let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be eulogized, praised, who impelled by his abundant mercy caused us to be born again, so that we have a hope which is alive, this living hope having been made active through the intermediate instrumentality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among those who are dead. Notice that language is perfect. Resulting in an inheritance, imperishable and undefiled, that does not fade away, which inheritance has been laid up and is now kept guarded in safe deposit in heaven for you who are constantly being guarded, kept guarded by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in a last season, which is epical and strategic in its significance. God is going to pull a coup to get us out of here. You can say what you want. But I'm too much of a romanticist to let that go by the board. I'm not a plain sleuth or detective or historian, but I'm romantically inclined. God is going to rescue the maiden that's been locked in the tower. He's going to foil the dragon, the serpent, the whole world. He's going to pull a coup. We're getting out of here. Oh, that's the Bible. You say what you want. I say what the Bible says. In which last season, You're in a secret, because you know what the coup is. You ought to be constantly rejoicing with the joy that expresses itself in a triumphant exuberance. Although for a little while, at the present time, that perchance there is a need for it, you have been made sorrowful in the midst of many different kinds of testings in order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by testing for the purpose of being approved. That's good, isn't it? The approval being much more precious than the approval of gold which perishes, even though the gold be approved by fire testing, may be discovered after scrutiny to result in praise and glory and honor at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't back there. Now people think that's going to be in heaven. He's talking of the strategic season to get us out of here. Right. Choo-choo, tell me the book of Revelation. Was it 21 solid chapters or 22? I never did know 20. Maybe it's 22. I never can quote anything. You mean to tell me that that's happened up in heaven? Oh, down here. Those thunders never thundered in heaven. Not even that. There's silence up there. Thunders were down here on earth. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love because of his preciousness, in whom now, not seeing yet believing, you're rejoicing with an inexpressible and glorified joy upon the occasion of your receiving the promise consummation of your faith, which is the final salvation of souls. What's the final salvation and consummation of faith? The day of redemption. So something's going on now which prefaces the literal walking into the immortality and that which man lost and which man hungers to get back. It's right here in the making. It's going on. for time and eternity has blended. I know people don't, but I believe that. I don't care what anybody says. I know it in my heart. I know it's right. And then no matter how I live or how rotten I am or anything else, I know that's true. Now, that's not like the token. And I can know the token's true, not applied, and not getting it. But I believe the token's been applied, or I wouldn't know what I'm talking about today. See? Now, we know that something is going on. And we know time and eternity blended, and we know space and matter has blended. You say, how? I don't know. When the thing is blended, it's blended. We got a little mill at home. We mill some different kinds of flour. I'll make a little test with you folks. And then you'll be smart enough to know how you can figure out time and eternity and all that. I'll blend some buckwheat and some millet and some rye and some oats, and I'll stir it up, and I'll say, now you tell me which is which. And when you can do that, I know you can tell me the other. It's going on. I can't explain it, but I like it. I'm allergic to wheat flour, but I can take the other seed. Now that makes it all the better. Okay, let me read in the seals now. Where is it? Right here. Now listen. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. Never came into existence at evening time. That ends the day. It's all over. Waiting for new morning. Evening time, the age you live in. Evening time for the church. Evening time for me. Evening time for my message. Evening time for the gospel. End time evangelism alone will work. Not Luther's day, not Wesley's day, not Pentecost. Everybody thinks that's going to work. I got news. It won't work. It'll bring in a bunch of nominal Christians. Now, and we must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up with the plan of redemption from before the foundation world, it every bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nations. We read about it. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpet, the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Revelation, the 10th chapter, and 1 to 7, time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. When that, in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time, the end of this seventh seal. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal, the end of the trumpet, the end of the vials, and even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. In other words, when the seventh seal expires, you're into it. You're going in now in the ushering. It's a process. Like the rapture is a process. Shout voice trumpet. You can't tell that to anybody but us. Thank God we're so stupid with the theological seminaries thinking that we can just believe this stuff. They were die, sink, or swim. This is it. That's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket in the air. And that rocket explodes here and goes up and explodes again. Puts out five stars. One star of them explodes, puts out five more. See, fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just the end. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. Ends the time. In other words, it's all folding up and going. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ends up on that seventh seal. All right. Now then, you're talking about something very, very peculiar in the Bible, and that is this: the prophet absolutely joins up the Exodus as the great type, Israel going out of Egypt, typing now our Exodus, throws it into the end time, and throws the seventh seal right in there. So, all right, the seventh seal, there's nothing under it. Only thunders come down. Now, how's it going to take place? Well, we know. But we're not especially interested in that. We're just going to carry on now because we want to just see that. So now we saw categorically that what the Exodus is all about, according to Paul, was immortality and the kingdom, which is the millennium, and all that pertains to it. And the ushering into the millennium requires its anticipating citizens to have the Holy Ghost or die. Now, a lot of people are anticipating. Anticipation is good. A lot of people anticipate. How many young men and women have anticipated the first baby is going to be a boy, turned out a girl? Anticipation's fine. It's just look at something like looking at a nice recipe book and seeing a beautiful roast beef and baked potatoes. And man, I'd like that. Well, just try it in the paper. Well, I can bake it. Well, try to get fat on the smell of it while you're baking it. See, anticipation is good. But what it is, you don't have any guarantee of anything unless you got that token. See, that's the prerequisite. See? Now, people realize that the company's not fooling when it says, I want an engineer with 6 years of training, and he's got to have a PGE as well as a BSc, might have wanted a master's and this and that. You go there, unless you're a good bluff where you can prove that you've got everything the trained engineer has and got a 10-to-1, you won't even get in the door really, though, for an interview. Now, if the world wants that, do you think God is going to slacken up on His promise, what His demands, especially if the Bible says God is more willing to give us the Holy Ghost than we are to receive? When He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Ask and it shall be given, you seek and you shall find. See? All right. Now remember, we are not talking about the resurrection this morning in this subject, the dead coming out of the grave. We are talking about those now living under the voice of Revelation 10 and 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger when he begins to sound, those will walk into the millennium and not see death. And this is not any more than what we read in Ephesians 1. Now, see, I'm taking a lot of preamble, but I'm doing it on purpose. You well know that. 13:14. In whom you also hoped. Because that word above is trusted, is hoped. H-O-P-E-D. So the one down below had to be hoped too in italics. After that, you heard the word of truth. Has to be truth. The gospel of your salvation. What's the gospel of our salvation? The same thing Paul preached. But what Paul couldn't deliver to the people of that day through the Holy Spirit. In whom also after that you believed, you received that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment, the earnest, the token, the guarantee of your inheritance. See, you're looking for this kingdom. You're not denigrating God's good gift to the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. This is just God's way of getting you there. The whole thing is of God. You remember the devil tried to get Jesus there to the kingdom in a wrong way? He said, forget it. I won't fall down and worship you or anybody like you. You worship God. Even Jesus had God to worship. What about us? He was full of the Holy Ghost. What about us? You think we're going to get back? He was born of the Holy Ghost. We can go into that another time on the attributes. Now, this is what you've got to have to get that redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, the blood bought you, and that's good. But that won't do. See? There's where people are wrong in the churches. It was fine to look at the blood under Luther and Wesley and the Pentecostals. The blood's still there. But you better be born again. Nobody gets in that kingdom unless they're full of the Holy Ghost. Now, the purchased possession of the blood unto the praise of the glory of His grace. And that's also the same as 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's the same as Romans 8:9, the last part. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. See? All of those are in there. It's Romans. Well, I might as well read that one in Romans. I think I wanted to read a bit more than just that part I quoted. Let's read Romans 8. 10 to 11. I mean, beg your pardon. Yeah, 10 to 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin? Well, let's watch that one. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You're still going to die. They died under Luther, they died under Wesley, they died under Pentecost, and they're dying right now. I don't care if they are full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I think your mind's being get on track now. And this Holy Ghost, whatever it entails, has got to be different from what the Holy Ghost was back there, because this bunch doesn't die. This evening time message. And evening time, Brother Brand says, is dying. The church is dying. Time is dying. I am dying. This is dying. That is dying. It's going out. But this has come to bring life. Already said the body is dead because of sin. In other words, we're sinning. Even though you got the token, you're still going to die. That's true. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You're guaranteed a life on the other side and immortality because you're born again. But if the Spirit in... No. Oh, what is, yeah, I got... I read 10... 11, yeah. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you... Now, He's telling you if you're born again. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Now, notice He's speaking of a special thing being done, which is that person being raised from the dead. Now, you know that sound of the voice. That's good, but there's a shout goes before that. Now, just leave that sit there. All right. This is no more than Ephesians 1, 13, 14 and Romans 8, 10, 11. Though that goes on until the last one comes in. That goes right on. This is going on now. But what is this? This is Ephesians 1, 15 to 17. After all, these are full of the Holy Ghost. Right up to the day, and including the day of redemption, because you don't know when the last one's brought in. Watch what comes next. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to me, and make you my prayers. Now listen, I told you, it goes on at the same time that day of redemption comes in. And this proves it because He's praying for living people, not dead people. If you want to light a candle and pray for the dead, go ahead. You ain't going to get them out of the ground. You're going to be the high priest of Timbuktu and the Grand Lama. I don't care what you are. You won't even be a Grand Slam at that day because there's nothing there. How you get out of the ground is being born again. And God gets you out of the ground. And Paul says right here, before you do come out of the ground, something special has got to happen. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You may know what is the hope of His calling, not yours, but His. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's that name in there. The word of the name. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the word of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised the dead and set Him in His own right hand. Now He's telling you right there what that Spirit's going to do. At the end time, they'll come in with the revelation of Jesus Christ in relationship to the bride. That's going to bring the dead out of the ground and put us in a rapture. And come back and take the kingdom. Now He calls it a spirit. That's what He calls it. And God's got only one spirit and He is spirit. And here Paul is saying here that God may grant to you people. He couldn't grant to that people. He can only grant to the end time people. His own coming on the scene, revealing Himself to the church. No, nothing else. Now, people can say what they want. They don't believe this. That's all right by me. I'm not here to convince anybody. See? But remember, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 is necessary or you don't get this. See, people say, well, just a minute. I believe if I got this up here, I got this. That's true. You will have. And you say, well, I got this up here, then I don't need this down here. Ha! Huh, that's where they missed it. All the theologians, you read any book under high heaven that's written by any theologian, and you see if they get this one right. They just tell you it's the same thing up here, as far as I recall, having read what I read. I could talk to Brother Ormond, he remembers more than I do. Got more books, too. Look it up and just find out what they're saying. I believe you'll find that they're saying this is the same one up here, and it pertains to the same thing, but Paul is just kind of elaborating. You know, like the Bible goes out of cater at times. You can't read the Bible, everything it says chronologically. Like that time you know about Abraham and Sarah go down to that King Abimelech down there. Well, that chapter right there should have been way back further, maybe around chapter 13 when they were young kids. But somebody got it out of order. The prophet told you what happened there. The old couple turned back there. They used to, they could have children. Anybody can't see that's got to be deaf, dumb, blind, spiritually speaking. You see, what do theologians do with it? Well, this is the answer to those thunders. Huh. If God's got to be His own Redeemer, then God's got to be His own procurer, provider, and precursor of the Word of Almighty God. He'll use channels, but don't worry, He'll do it. Oh, brother, sister, if everything isn't in God, then I don't even want to touch it. I've seen too much outside of God, especially myself. Put it all back in God where it belongs, and put it in seed form enough. Because that's a modicum. Microcosm. Okay, look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the kusma. The military command. The coxswain getting the rowers in rhythm. 1 Corinthians 15, where everything is being put in order. Subjection, which is a divine order. Lining up to the head. This is where the cornerstone becomes the capstone. The cornerstone is absolutely the same as the capstone. Just a different shape, a different place. And the capstone itself has got to be a little pyramid to fit on the pyramid. What else could it be? Everything that came from the head, he started, builds it right up, comes up through a body, and then takes the authority again, back to headstone. Back to capstone. Got to be capstone to capstone. Who starts it? Who finishes it? I'm Alpha and Omega. Listen, God stood there in the garden as the judge, and he said, I tell you what, boy, I'm reading you the word and interpreting it. You touch that fruit tree right there, you're gone. They were gone. That's the judge. Come right back and say, what do you see? There's the judge. There he is right there. Oh, brother, sister, listen, we're right in this great thing today. It's not down the road. In fact, we're leaving the road far behind us. I wonder if we realize that 20 years have gone by. Coming right up, December the 24th. That's right around the corner. Sure as you're alive. We're. All right. Just with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ arise first, and so on. And he's talking about that to the living. Then what came down? That spirit came down. Well, people don't want to recognize that. That's all it means. It's the same one, Revelation 10 and 1. The mighty angel came down. It's the same as Malachi 4. Why? He said, I'm going to, in the last day, he said, the people are so wicked, he said, I got to do the same thing I did in the days of Noah. But he said, I'm going to do it with fire. That's why he comes down with a rainbow over his head. That's what they saw down in the river. It looked like a rainbow, that light. You know, rainbows are really complete circles when you see them, right? Get up in the clouds sometime in an airplane. Oh, full circle. God's full circle, brother, sister. Don't ever sell him short. He's going to get us there. And whether we stand the squeeze or not, he's going to get us there. Like one fellow said, he'll get you. If he'll pull you through, he can stand the squeeze. Let me tell you something. Whether you can stand the squeeze or not, he's still going to pull you through. Election is election. Bless God. We've done been voted upon. We heard our names called in the Lamb's Book of Life. You bet we did. That's how we heard of the gospel of truth. There's no other way you hear your name except for the gospel of truth. So the day cometh of burners of oven, all the proud. Ye that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing wings. It's a twofold right there. The same judge that says burn is the same judge that says you're free. Immortality comes to us to God dispensing what Jesus Christ bought for us. And he himself becoming the chief guest of honor, because in our state of immortality, God himself makes him immortal by sliding right into the body of Jesus Christ, and will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, altogether lovely, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be everything that day. We're going to do it too. You'll tread down the wicked. You'll be asked under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. We're not going to tread him down in that particular sense. We're going to do it. He's going to do it. We'll be doing it with him by the grace of God. I know that sounds kind of tough. People think, this, what kind of a God have you got? Well, I got this kind of God, and that suits me fine. I'm not vengeful anymore, and he's vengeful. But neither do I want to say something he doesn't say. Neither do I want to go where he doesn't want to go. Neither do I want to enter into what he doesn't want for me. You know, people always try to out God, God, and out word the word, and out Jesus, Jesus, out prophet the prophet. Well, they just get plumb out. You want to get plumb in? Get in with God. Get in with the word. Get in with the Holy Ghost. Get in with the prophet. See? Behold, I send you Elijah to the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he'll turn the hearts of children back to the fathers. Now, the whole clue is right there, God and the prophet. Who's going to come down? God's going to come down. What's he going to come down to? Prophet. Men in the water. Yep. All right. No one should ever bypass Acts 2:37-39. Repent and be baptized. Don't do that. Don't bypass 1 Corinthians 12:13. You got to be born again. Romans 8:9, as I mentioned. But in maintaining and being loyal to Acts 2:37-39, do not reject Ephesians 1:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Revelation 10 and 1. But they'll do it every time. They'll do it every time. Well, they say, oh, that was a great messenger came down. Tell me what messenger's got a rainbow over his head except the one on the throne. And Brother Branham categorically said it was a pillar of fire. Brother Spirit of God. Beg your pardon, Spirit of God. I read it. several weeks ago. Remember when I was taking one of the unveiling or something like that? Now, don't let them go. But remember, credit the truth of Ephesians 1:17 and so on. For in this evening hour, sons are not only coming to Christ, but the Lord Himself has descended to get us out of here. The baptism with the Holy Ghost does not get you out of here per se. It's the token you got when He gets you out of here. It's a sign of the evidence. All right. How could one be full of the Holy Ghost and then deny the Holy Ghost? That's a good question. Thus, we must be very careful when we hear this message. It is not only what we hear, but how we hear. You can't hear this sermon through Pentecostal doctrine. That age is over. The age of gifts is over. Brother Branham said so. It's the evening time message of Malachi 4 and 1. It's the message of Matthew 25 times. It's the end time evangelism. People think that it doesn't evangelize, but you better believe it does. Because any word outside of this word is not God's evangelism, because it's not the word of truth. Because Paul said you heard the word of truth. If it's not end time evangelism, brother, sister, and I read that word of truth, remember, what we can do with 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Here's what it says over here. Satan is going to come. His very presence is going to be here with working the signs and wonders and power. Remember, that could be a real anointing on the devil, just like Judas, whose presence is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. Now, brother, sister, listen, there's got to be a truth at the end time that is the truth. Because that's what it says here. And for this cause, God shall send a strong delusion. Now then, this cannot be a truth that Tippy toes in the middle of the night in a dark room and silently falls dead and evaporates by the morning. It's like a thunderclap of the eruption of Krakatoa or even Mount St. Helens. Far worse, the one down in South America, or a tidal wave that hit Japan, or rather Hawaii. It'll be like the San Andreas fault giving way. This was not something that silently expired. This came like a blast upon this world. They turned it down some spot. And let me say this, they did away, I believe, with Christ in the Christ's ministry and the Spirit of God through William Branham a whole lot quicker than they did away with Jesus in his 3.5 years. I doubt that Brother Branham had anywhere near 3.5 years, because the minute he said, I believe in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would dead duck right there. But they sure wanted to steal his thunder. You know, that's an expression, but it's true. I've got some too. They wouldn't run interference with William Branham, they ran interference to him. Now, God sent strong delusion. What right would God have to send strong delusion unless it was a strong evidence? See, you can't put God down as less righteous than we are. Because if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts and give the Holy Ghost? If you and I, being evil, have this sense of justice and judgment, hey, there's no sign up here to say I shouldn't make a U-turn. How can I get picked up and charge $30 for making a U-turn? You think that God's going to come along and be less righteous than we are? Come on. This was not done in the corner. That they might be damned, who believe not the truth that had pleasure in unrighteousness. What's the unrighteousness? Living their godly, wonderful lives according to creeds and dogmas. Being Cain's instead of Abel's. Well, so look at here. The Bible even tells about me why Abel could rise in the judgment and say, now, just a minute now, great God. Doesn't it say in your own word that I offer an excellent sacrifice? You bet your life you could do that if you get the chance. Will not many come and say, Lord, have we not done wonderful works in thy name? He'll never deny. Then they must have missed the Holy Ghost somewhere. Look at, I got no axe to grind. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even the leap of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's coming a day when there's another gospel to it. Do you know what I mean? Another phase. Where Paul did not know the power of the resurrection. Oh, he'll know it eventually. But the seventh age group gets it first. They come up first and we get changed standing here. God does it. Now that's what Brother Branham is speaking of. The token at the end time. But there's always been a token. Tell me what Luther... If you say Luther didn't have the Holy Spirit, that'd be a joke in my books. I don't care what he manifested. I don't care what he believed. He believed what he needed for that hour. That's Reformation. This is restoration, brother, sister. We're going right back to the essentials, to the beginning. See? Now understand, Alpha's Omega. We're just like a breath, considering all time, from walking right in. Now, Brother Brown is telling you got to have the token. It's token time. See? All right. The Spirit of Christ is not only here to fill us, but Elohim himself in the fullness of his person here with a shout, voice, and trumpet. And none outside of Jesus Christ will ever hear that trumpet, will ever hear the voice, ever hear the shout. Thus, know for surety, this message does not leave off the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Neither does it leave out the Holy Spirit himself. Desperation. If I can find it. Yes. Paragraph 17, I believe. Yeah, somewhere. Pardon me, I'll get to it. Just give me time. Oh, I start here. Then the light that was in Christ is the Holy Ghost. Not the third person, but the same person in the form of the Holy Spirit coming upon you as a token that your life and your fare is paid. You have been accepted. Until that token comes, you're not permitted on the highway. You're not permitted on the bus line. You're not permitted to go in until you can present this token, and that token is your fare. And now it shows that the blood has been shed and been applied to you, and the price has been applied to you. Now you people, you have taken the token that the blood is applied to you and you've accepted. In other words, the Spirit on you shows that you're under the blood. That's true, see. Now, no certain evidence, see. You say, Brother Branham, I feel in your mind, you see it. Why will I know? Or how will I know? Look, what were you? And what are you? That's a question right now to ask everybody here. What were you? So, I was a sinner. Look, forget that stuff. You were back there condemned in denomination. What were you back there? Nobody's denying the fact that you had a change down the line somewhere. We're not going to argue that. Why, man, you can get a change through a psychologist, a psychiatrist. I've said many a time, here's a poor old fella, he's smoking, he's drunk, and he's had a terrible temper, he's been out there carousing and beating people up, everything else, and one day he feels some change around his heart. This guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. One more flare of your temper, and one more outburst, and one more bottle of booze, one more cigarette, you drop where it did. He says, really, doc? Yeah, you're gone. Next morning, the guy doesn't smoke, drink, booze, or anything else. He's converted. Not by the Holy Ghost. He's changed, but not by God. But you know, you can't go by these outside things, see? He says here, what were you? What are you? There's how you know, see? What were you before the token was applied? What do you have to apply? He said, well, what about now then? I got the token way back there. Well, how did you get this message outside the token? How can you listen? See? You wouldn't have a rapport with it. What was your desires before? What's your desires after? Then you know whether the token's applied or not. And these other things will automatically go with that, see? Now listen, everybody that's supposed to be born again goes to the Bible. And they should go to the Bible. We go to the Bible. But what revelation of the Bible do we go to? We don't go to their revelation. We're not eating that. Brother Brand said, you're not feeding on the word of the man. You're feeding on the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you? I'm a different feeder. We got different feeders. Yep. That's like talking about, they say, well, tongue is the evidence. Now, I buy a pair of shoes, the tongue isn't the shoe. Just comes with the shoe, see? Now, the same thing as the token. The token is Christ. But speaking in tongues and casting a devil, doing these things and preaching, whatever is the evidence, it's there true, but they're just gifts. See? The devil can impersonate any of these things, those things, but he cannot be the Holy Ghost. See? He can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the token that the blood's been applied, because it follows the blood all the way from the book of redemption. See it? What was his purpose of coming? That's what he followed in every age. So what was the purpose of him coming? That's what followed in every age. Every age he's followed that to see this brought forth. In other words, he came upon earth and shed his blood to see the people get the Holy Ghost, which is the token, their side of the contract, to prove they can go on in. See? Because remember, he redeemed the earth. His blood fell upon it. See? The whole thing is a total redemption. They could not be made perfect without us. And now, the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh. And what's that God in human flesh? A prophet who stands up and says words that no man can fulfill. Only God can fulfill. Deuteronomy 18. A replica or a vicar, you might say, in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. All ages we've had vicars. Those that took the place of him. At the end time, we have a special one. Remember, the Holy Spirit is here instead of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, as the great teacher, cannot reach each one of us, so he has a messenger. So, as God spake to Moses, and Moses spake to Aaron, and Aaron spoke to the people, so you got it coming down. God was in Christ. That Spirit of life comes back now, and come through a messenger. And the messenger speaks to you and me, and now then we are delegates. And as Paul said in the Scripture, we are ambassadors. We are here in God's stead. So the Holy Spirit, baptism, is here in God's stead. The messenger is here in God's stead. We are here in God's stead. It's all of the Holy Ghost. So you see, friends, it's not hard to understand something. Just let your own thinking go and go to the Word of God and see it all very plain there. And you can understand that the Holy Spirit, God himself, came down. He said the entire Holy Spirit visits the church. And we know because he sent the prophet. He's like a token to us. He's not the token. You understand what I'm saying? Look, I'm just trying to get the thing built up where you say, hey, I can rely on that. Because that's what we've got to look at. And all the things, making God in human flesh as he did before Sodom. The burning there, which was a type. Then Abraham, he appeared to him. See? And all the things that he hasn't done down through the ages, in the church ages, he is doing now. Back to the Word, because the messages and the messages and messages have to wind up the entire Word. And the last days, the seventh seal is being opened, was to pick up every straggle that's been left off and make the whole thing in one great big body of bride, that those who live back there were not perfect until this church be perfected, the bride group in the last days, to bring them in and all together be taken up. The token Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit is among us. What good would be among us if he wasn't in us? When Brother Brown spoke, he said the Holy Spirit, God's there, he's down in South Africa, he's down here, he's up there, and he's here with us. What did he say? The pillar of fire is down there too? I never heard him say that. Do you follow what we're saying this morning? You've got to understand this message has not an undertone, but an absolute, perfect, clear-cut principle when you're talking about the token. See? Especially for this hour. Now, we don't have too much time, but we're going to take a little time here. I'm going to go back now with all this laid out again, so you hope we don't miss anything here. We'll read a little bit in the token itself. And Brother Branham said the animal life could not come back upon the believer because it was an animal. And it only spoke of a conscience showing that there would come a perfect sacrifice. In other words, they could rest on the fact that there was something ahead that would take care of everything. See? Now, how could there be a more perfect sacrifice than God himself becoming the atonement himself? Well, look, he'd have to be. He'd have to work it out somehow. Otherwise, how could he be the Redeemer and the Savior and make it stick? Couldn't do it. That's why he said, with whom did I take counsel? Who gave me my thinking? He said it was all there. Now, when it's all there, and I'm all that's there, and I've got to put myself into it to bring it out. So that's when he began to start to get to the place of Redeemer, which made it human flesh. Because God had all that he needed to be Savior, to be healer, to be justifier, sanctifier, to be our resurrection, to be the millennium, to be this, to be everything. It was all in him. And the only way to start to do it would be starting through that manifestation. That's why that light went out of him. So then how in the world could he be the sacrifice? Because he is our atonement. How could he be this if he didn't do something about it personally? So he did. He took all of his attributes. I've explained that many times before. Put the figures down for you. Took all those attributes. Put them right into a sperm and an egg. Put it into a physical form. But remember, that physical form had in it those attributes and that life. And that life had everything of God in it. Like a microcosm. But it was all there. Trillions of, you've never mentioned it, it's infinite lying in there. Put it into a woman's body. Through her chemistry. We read that here somewhere too. About the blood. I think I read it the other day. Maybe I... Anyway, the blood went back to the elements. But the life didn't. I come from God and I go to God. Oh man, that's pure and simple. It did. What else could it do? And God takes that life and puts it upon you and me. That's why trillions could receive that life and never be God. Never exhaust God. Only infinite God. It's only an infinite God giving his life. Oh my, it's really precious if we get into it. Now, when God was made flesh and his own creative blood, we talked about that, see what's going in. The only way what a life of God could ever come back, because all of us was born by sex. He tells you that. We're animal life. We're like animals, born through sex. Original man wasn't. So what does God do? He makes a new man, another man, the Lord from heaven. Not earthy. Not a spin-off. Mary didn't contribute one thing to Christ per se. No, sir. It wasn't an egg that God fertilized Mary's egg. How could God fertilize Mary's egg? you get foolish ideas. Won't hold water. Won't hold anything. God made that egg and sperm. And in it was everything necessary. Now, therefore the life that is in there is of the world. That's you and me. We come that way. That life will not stand. It's a thing that's already judged and condemned. That's right. Dying, you die. You sure do. Can't patch it up. No way to patch it. No way to smooth it out. No way to make it better. Got to die. The only requirement there is death. See, but nothing's going to do that, you know, but Holy Spirit. Got to die, and the substitute, the life of Christ, has to come into you, which is the Holy Ghost, God's token, that you have accepted the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Just don't talk about it. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. That's one thing I do like about the old Pentecostal days. I do admit they made an issue over this, and the people, I believe a lot of them, were truly full of the Holy Ghost because they waited before God and waited. Like old, Uncle Buddy Robinson, the great Nazarene preacher. You know, he said, "Now, Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost when you get back, you'll just find a bag of bones here." And I believe without a doubt, old Uncle Buddy had the Holy Ghost. I understand he spoke in tongues, so that's no evidence. But the Nazarenes would sure like to cover that one up. Well, hurrah for the Nazarenes. Cover it all up if you want. They got a bad time. My poor old brother-in-law was a Nazarene 50 years, and he finally gave up. He said, "I don't know why I stayed there 50 solid years," he said. Maybe your brother-in-law will give it one of these days too, Joe. Who knows? Not that that's going to change him. No, what the next thing is, they go to Pentecost. That's good too, in a way, they come next up the ladder a bit more. But if they stay with that, there's death in that part too. Now, therefore, in the days of Wesley, or the days of Luther, they were thought to believe in the days of Wesley, the chemistry of the blood. In other words, they preached the blood. They had to, because that was the message of the hour. See? The sanctifying blood, the regenerating blood, and all that lay there. And people, that was fine. But this is the last day where the token is required that makes together the whole unit for the rapture. You see it. Now watch. Water, blood, and spirit come when a mother gives birth to the baby. Now he's talking about church ages. And those ages are like individuals. So hold that in mind. All right, now, when water, blood, and spirit comes when a mother gives birth to the baby. First thing breaks in a normal birth is water. Second thing is blood. Next thing is life. There came the body of our Lord. There came from the body of our Lord Jesus Christ water, blood, and life. And the whole church, the bride, together has been made up through justification, sanctification, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is the token. Now, he's not saying Pentecost of baptism was the token. He's talking about the Holy Ghost himself as the token that baptized you. The token himself, giving of himself. How in the world could you and I have a token except the very measure of what God himself is giving us? What if he's the Redeemer, reduced his own great infinite body, his attributes, into two cells that became flesh to give us the blood, then do you think he's going to give us anything other than his spirit for a token? Oh, brother, sister, you're not following your Bible. Better follow your Bible. As Hebrews 11 said, these all warned about sheepskin, goatskin, deathskin, all these things they had done, and yet were not made perfect. Us. What does perfect mean? Finished. Closed off. All over. Polished. The church in this day that has received the token of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that the blood has been shed, and the Holy Ghost is upon the church. Now, is he talking about individual? Sure, but he's talking collectively too. Because he said it wasn't back there. See, I know what I'm talking about. I asked Brother Branham. I said, Brother, see, back in the days I wrote the church age book for Brother Branham, people say, well, nobody's really got the true Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Brother Branham's the only one who got the Holy Ghost, now give it to us. Oh, I said, good land, what goes on with these guys? I'm convinced I've got the Holy Ghost. Of course, I could be convinced wrong. I mean, look, I'm not God. I'm not a prophet. I don't have a gift like a certain preacher. And I said, now, you've got the Holy Ghost, but you don't. I wouldn't know you've got the Holy Ghost, you don't. How would I know? I've got hopes. I believe. Sure, I believe. I could think I could believe. Not only charitably, but with a great amount of conviction. Everybody that here has got the Holy Ghost. I've got no proof. But we look at this thing. See? You've got to understand we're talking about the church and the individual. See, Israel went in as a group with the pillar of fire, the Holy Ghost over them. And all they could use was the blood in that day. Now, that day back there through the seven church ages, they had what it took to get them this far, but now they need God himself. Not one that's a far off standing there with the word that's been simply standing there, but there's an intervention. Let's read it again. And the church in this day that has received the token of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the token, the baptism is with it, of the Holy Spirit, that the blood has been shed, the Holy Ghost is upon the church. Without us, then they could not raise, but they're depending on us. For God promised he would have it, and somebody's going to be there. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody is going to receive it. Going to receive what? Going to receive something to get them out of the ground. Now that person's not going to get them out of the ground. We're simply saying that the end of the church age, that something has got to be received, something has got to be given, and is going to bring the whole thing together in unity. Now before it was water, blood, and now spirit. You come all the way to the place, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself, Brother Branham said. Now where are we at? To the baptizer himself. That's the headship. Come up through a body. Proves it's returned to grain because we see the very ministry that Jesus had on earth. Come right back, brother, sister. There is only one thing I'm responsible for, is to preach it. What have you been preaching? Exodus. Token. You got to have it. It's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed. There is going to be there. All because they're going to be there, each one of them. One with the other. Now listen, you say, well, that's each person. No! The water age, the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Spirit. Now, brother, sister, who was back there at the water? What came out of his side? Water. Whose water, so to speak? Christ. Living water. Whose blood came out? Christ's blood. What blood? Living blood. What came out? Life. What life? Holy Ghost. Three ages. Now what? Himself. Maybe I'm telling you wrong. Can't see the other way. Remember, Israel came to many things, but it was evening time when the token was required, not in the morning, not in the preparation of 14 days of keeping up the lamb. Now that's the seven church ages, typing it. Israel knew something was coming. Now watch. So did Luther know it. What good would it be for Luther to know something was coming if he didn't have what would get him out of the grave? Doesn't do you much good to know there's an earthquake coming and got no place to go. Just gives you the shivers and the quakes, and you die 1,000 deaths ahead of time. Great, have fun. You know God, brother, sister, is not stupid. God's not pulling some kind of a deal on us. I preach hard, but I preach this in love the best I can. So did Luther know it, as well as Israel. So did Wesley know it. So did Finney, Knox, and Calvin. Now listen, how did Luther know? The same as Israel knew. How did they know? There was a promise by Abraham handed down. There was a word for it. But how's it going to be? Then God does it interpreting how it is, and you look back and say, there it is all the time. That's right. One day they're going to look back and say, hey, God did say Elijah was going to come, and it was he. Did say he'd come down here, and he did. Now we're too late. Now there's only one guarantee of you and me not missing it. If we don't have the Holy Spirit to think we don't, we better do something about it. We better begin to seek God. Until we know in our hearts we do. He said, Finney knew it. Calvin knew it. This is it. They had to be Spirit-filled, brother, sister. Nobody will ever change that word of God that said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, because Brother Brandon categorically says, how do we get in? And he tells you exactly how, and uses that exact word. Now you got to get in to get out. Because we're not going to rapture as individuals. We're going in as a bride. Age 7 comes up first. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then you go up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So let's not get our wires crossed. They knew there would come a time that the pillar of fire would return back to the church. Now, who's the pillar of fire? Jesus Christ. Just watch your thinking. They knew there'd come a time that these things would happen. But they didn't need to see it, but they looked forward to it. Israel knew something was coming, but it was coming in the evening time when the Lamb's blood, the token, was placed on the door, yet the Lamb was already put up. They had the witness. Token time, evening time, going out time. And who's going to come? Who's going to tell us when the time comes? There's only one can tell us the time, and that's the Holy Ghost. He shall tell you all things and when they're going to happen. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge, him comes. Let me read it for you. I can't read it, brother. Tell Brother Brandon said it. I'm just quoting it. I quoted haphazard. Let me get it for you. Ephesians, the first chapter. Kick you out of here right away. I hope. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now notice the beautiful words there. It's the Holy Spirit himself comes into the church and through revelation. Brings the church in. Reveals to the church the day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these deep secret things. What's God going to come and do? He's going to come in a revelatory manner, which is the seventh seal. He's going to have his prophet there. We've looked for it. We couldn't put it together. What's this about Elijah? What's this about that? What's this other thing? Where does this go? Now we know. That's God. Who did it? God did it. Where was he? Came right down and did it. There's his picture. There's the picture. Oh, I can't believe that stuff. Well, don't believe it. Who cares? I'm not here to convince anybody. Or get my hair messed up, throw my hands around. I might do that too, but... No. See, the pillar of fire is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost, but Jehovah himself. See? The Lamb was already put up. The Lamb was there. It's been the Lamb all the way through. It was the Lamb in Luther's time. It's the Lamb in Wesley's time. But now it's the token time. God's not necessarily off the mercy seat, but there comes a time when it's all over. See, how do I know it's token time? Because the token himself came with the prophet and showed us, and he's here, and he's going to get us out of here. You tell us he's not going to get us out of here, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you, Brother Brandon, someone's going to get out of here. Old E.B. might not get out of here, though he sure hopes to get out of here and wants to get out of here. And my God, I'm depending on getting out of here, but I want to tell you, if not one person in this church makes it, there's going to be somebody makes it. You bet it is. We may be a little bit blind, but not in both eyes. Our hearing may be a little bit deaf, but we're not stone deaf. And our mental capacity may be dull, but we're not stupid. I hope so. And maybe there's a little mischief in him, but not fog bound. I think we've seen a great light, brother, sister. Not like those who saw light that spread out. We saw the light that brings in and takes up. Comes back and takes over. All right, but now it's token time, and each house must be covered by the token. You're a house of God, a tabernacle, each one of you. Each house of God must be covered by the token. Repeats it. All that is inside must be covered by the token. We're back to headship now. So what's but about God's house? We're the tabernacle of God collected. We're the body. You think it's not covered? How could it not be covered? Everything to the individual goes to the church, type-wise and all-wise. Show me one thing the church has, the individual doesn't have. Show me one thing the individual has, the church doesn't have. So if I've got the Holy Ghost, then the church again must have himself. You've got the Holy Ghost, the church must have. The house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. What's the body of Jesus Christ? Not yours, not mine, just temple. So I told you the truth, didn't I? And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into this token and become part of it. That Jesus, that God said, when I see this token displayed, I'll pass over you. In other words, every single one must be under him today. Then where is Rome? Where is the Anglican? Where is the Presbyterian? Where is the Baptist headquarters? I was a Baptist for a little while. Didn't last too long. I heard every day from the Baptist church several letters. And I said, my heavens, if I could hear from God like this, I'd be the most spiritual man in all the world. Fact. Out went the letters. That was that. God, you don't have to be very smart. I don't think that you have to be too smart to smell and know it was Limburger cheese that wafts on the air. The little Swiss cheese isn't bad, but when it got to be Limburger, I thought it was over. Is that it? That's it. No, huh? No, I don't want them. But what he's talking about is this great twofold aspect. You as individuals must have the Holy Spirit, even if you die, to get you out of the ground. And remember, the church must have God to get her out of here. Right? That's the picture. And it's token time. It's time, brother. Now look at, there's one token you've got to apply. You've got to go to God. There's one that you don't go to God, he comes to you. Right? It's applied. That's right. The Lord bless you. We love you all. Trust nothing was said to hurt anybody's feelings. I think I was in one of my better moods instead of my rougher moods, so I trust anyway. Lord bless you. And we won't see you Wednesday night now, remember? See you on. Have a nice Christmas. Hope you have a wonderful time together. The Lord give you a great blessed time. Brother Branham was not against the proper celebration. His proper teaching of children. I think it's good to teach children the spirit of Christmas. How to conduct themselves. And how to have good family fellowship. Not making Christmas commercial. Try not to. Like he said, swapping the gifts. All that foolishness. Try better to, pardon my expression, now swap testimony. Talk about the Lord. Like Malachi said, and have yourself a good time. Love the Lord. Love your neighbors. Pray for each other more than you ever done before, because I feel things are closing in, brother, sister, where things are going to smash left and right. I don't think we got... That's my premonition. I don't see I'm right. I'm not a prophet, but I think things are soon going to go like these. You've never seen things of 6 and 7? Everything, just rely on God. You haven't relied on him before in your life. You're going to need it. I'm going to need it. I don't think there's any mistaking that thought whatsoever. And then Saturday we'll see you, the Lord willing. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, on our way home, Lord, at this time, may the grace of Almighty God rest and abide upon each one of us, Lord. May we, Lord, as never before realize that this is that hour. It's the time, Lord, to apply the token, everything that token means. Father, we know that you cannot live in a halfway house and be happy. You want one that's entirely dedicated. Like that little lamb didn't have a choice. It gave us life, and Father, we don't have a choice either. We're commanded to receive the token, Lord. And when we do, we know it's death to ourselves. And we know, Lord, that's the most blessed thing in all the world. It's a place that we all struggle to stay from, knowing it's the one place we'd be happy if we got to. Help us, Lord, to fulfill your joy, and at the same time have our joy fulfilled by this life in us and the other life gone. God, we pray this morning, hear our prayer and answer it, Lord. We're a people that's soft in this old age of lukewarmness. Father, we just can't afford it. I don't know what all's going to come, Lord. But I know.